Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 is the shortest. But right after these two, in Psalm 120, we'll start. And there are 21 Psalms. They're called the Song or Songs of Degrees. And I'll read a little bit, and then I'll explain what a Song of Degrees is. Psalm 120, a Song of Degrees. "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." And I can stop right there and preach a sermon, couldn't I? "He heard me when I cried unto him. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Which, that describes the Middle East right there. Psalm 121, a Song of Degrees. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Psalm 122, a Song of Degrees of David. "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together," or fit together. "Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity, as we just read, to come into the house of the Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to serve God, hopefully with all our hearts. I believe you have a message for me today, and I'm asking that you help me to preach it. Please give me unction from on high. And by all means, speak to the people. Do something in the hearts of the people that they would understand the Word of God. Not that I'm anything of a preacher. I'm not here to talk about me, but I'm here to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And I want people to see Him. I want Him to be glorified. And I know that He truly is the only hope for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's a song of degrees? Let's look at verse 1 of Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. There's distress. Look at the next chapter, Psalm 121, verse 8, the last verse. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. There's distress, but then there's deliverance. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then the third one. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's distress. We get into trouble, whatever that trouble happens to be. And again, you can get in trouble by accident, or you can get in trouble as a consequence of serving God. There's distress. And then you cry out to God in your distress, then he delivers you. Or deliverance. And then you bless the Lord, and he in return blesses you. A song of degrees, distress, deliverance, and blessing. The three psalms together. But it's not just these three, because there are 18 more just like this. A song of degrees. You start out in trouble, in distress, crying out to God, and then he delivers you in the next psalm. And the psalm after that, there's the blessing of God. If I had time, I could go through it again. As I said, there are 7 of these 3 psalm groupings, I guess. Again, there's 21 psalms here, grouped in threes. And this must be something that's important, because he didn't just have 3 psalms, he had 21. He didn't just say it once, he said it 7 times. You know, we're Pentecostals here. Sometimes that's a bad word, I suppose. I don't really care for labels, but it does describe what we believe about the Lord, what we believe about ourselves, and what we believe about our heritage. We believe that Jesus still heals the sick. We still believe that when we get in trouble and ask God for help, he can come through for us. We still believe in the old rugged cross. Many churches, they don't want that anymore. Strange, I don't understand it. A Christian church, by definition, is one that's centered on the cross. But too many churches these days, they don't want that. And we still believe that one day Jesus is coming back to judge the quick and the dead. One day he's going to come back and put down all unrighteousness and set up his kingdom that'll last for 1,000 years. It's called the millennium. We still believe it. But instead of doing things in our own power, and anyone that does missionary work or stands on the corner and preaches or maybe hands out tennis shoes and hot dogs to the homeless, anyone that does something for God, that's fantastic. You have my 100% support. But as the Bible teaches again and again and again and again and again, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You need to trust in the power of God. You need to trust in God and believe for miracles. And the greatest miracle, the only one really that really ultimately matters. You remember Lazarus, he was raised from the dead, but then he died. You know, there's still a miracle for Lazarus, because one day he's going to raise from the dead and never die again. And so will every one of our relatives that have gone on, everyone for thousands of years, and us if we die, we have the blessed hope. We need to trust in God. And again, the greatest miracle is the one in the heart. If you're, again, passing out hot dogs and tennis shoes on Friday night like we used to do at Spring and Lucky down downtown Atlanta when I lived there, in, I guess in 93 or 94 or something. We trusted in the power of God to change the hearts of those bums that we were ministering to. And we did see, thank God, we did see some people get saved. We saw some people get delivered from homelessness, I guess you can say. They ended up with jobs and places to live. Those that said yes to the Lord, God blessed them. And I've told the story of Hack, testified of him. I don't have the time. But if we trust in God and believe him and take him at his word, he can deliver us. And again, to drive the point home, we find ourselves in distress and call out to God. Most people stop there. I'm in distress. Oh, what am I going to do? They never call out to God. They'll get on the phone and call this friend and call that friend, and man, they'll wear out the cushion on the couch punching the numbers on the phone. Going to tell all their friends, but when did they say, oh God, let me wear out the carpet. Let me put my knees in the carpet and ask God in prayer, Lord, I have this trouble, I have this distress. Nowadays, well, that's just not preached. If I wanted to call names, I could call dozens of names of ministers, mostly on TV, some on radio, that they don't teach deliverance. They don't teach calling out to God. They teach you can believe God for a Lexus or a Cadillac. I don't want to get on that row again, but the focus is wrong. The focus should be, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Not in my distress, I went to church, and we get religious and whatever, make a lot of noise, but God, I don't know, I guess he's there. In other words, I'm not interested of religion. I'm not interested of doing religious things, and I have to kneel at a certain time, maybe stand at a certain time, or whatever. I'm not interested in religion because it's what I should do, it's what they taught me. I'm interested in when I had distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. God still hears from heaven. God still answers from heaven. God can still do it, whatever it is you need. But let's look at Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. The title of my message is, obviously, A Song of Degrees. But you get a 2-for-1 blue plate special today. I'm going to preach a second sermon, entitled, I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes Unto the Hills From Whence Cometh My Help. I read, and I'm not ashamed of it, I read from the King James Bible. I've always read that, happy with it. I have some friends of mine that they've started to read the Geneva Bible. They're starting to print that again. There's nothing wrong with the Geneva Bible. If I didn't have 27, 28 years invested in King James, I might even switch. There are some good translations, and there are some bad translations. Now, I don't care about the new ones. I've seen the message. I've seen the New Century in the bookstore. I don't really have any experience with them. I have a little experience, and again, I've been in this thing a little while. I have a little experience with the NIV. The NIV is probably, in my opinion, and again, I don't know about the newer versions. They may be worse, but in my opinion, one of the worst is the New International Version. Go ahead, get mad if you want. But it reads, and I don't have it in front of me, I may quote it wrong a little bit, but it reads with wrong punctuation. It says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence does my help come? With a question mark. With a question mark. In other words, I'm looking at this hill, I'm looking at that hill, I'm turning all around, and where's my help going to come from? Oh yeah, next verse, I guess it comes from God. I guess, I'm not sure. Go ahead, get mad, but the punctuation's just wrong. But the psalmist, I know the next one, 122, it says it's from David. I don't know who wrote the others. But the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? No question mark, period. I will lift my eyes up to the hills, because that's where my help comes. Oh, I know it says my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, but I want to take a look at these hills. Again, 2-for-1 blue plate special. I will look to the hills because that's where my help comes from. Hills. Well, it says in verse 2, my help comes from God, and that's correct. But again, let's take a look at these hills. In the book of Genesis, and I don't have a lot of time, I'm not going to read as much as I'd like, but I'm going to run through these. In Genesis, you read of Abraham. It says in chapter 15 that he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Justification by faith. We as Pentecostals don't believe in justification by works. James and Paul did not argue. They were both right. But James was saying that works, good works, are a testimony that something good has happened in your heart. You get saved and then you do good works. Good works do not save. And again, justification by faith. Martin Luther, when he was kneeling on shingles, on the top of a roof, if I understand right, doing penance, God spoke to him from heaven and said, Martin, the just shall live by his faith. Not by works, not by doing everything the church says, but by believing God, just as Abraham, we can have it counted to us for righteousness. That was it. Abraham was saved. He was justified before God. But then in chapter 22, we read that God took him at his word, that Abraham believed God, and God tested him. Long story, long, many chapters, long story, but the child of promise, Isaac. God said, take your son, and again, in Genesis chapter 22, and some wood and a knife, stick them on that barrow, and let's go to a mountain that I'll show you. In the land of Moriah, I guess we could say Mount Moriah. Abraham, sacrifice your son. And again, that's a sermon right there. We can talk about what the kid said. We could talk about many things, but we understand that God did provide himself a lamb. John 3:16, for God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Abraham was called to sacrifice his son, and God stayed his hand at the last moment and said, I'll provide my own son, thanks very much. Now, he wasn't justified by obedience. He was tested by obedience. But he was justified by faith. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Time passes, bunch of stuff passes, takes place, what have you, in Exodus chapter 19 and chapter 20. They're in the land of Sinai, the children of Israel, and Moses, the deliverer, in chapter 19 and 20, goes up on the mountain and comes down with 10 commandments. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And I love teaching the types, and that's another sermon, another several sermons. But God gave the law on Mount Sinai. And it's the law which defines sin, and it's the law that shows us our need for a Savior. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You remember perhaps the 12 spies that went into the promised land. Two of them said, hey man, we can do it. God's going to help us. Look at all the bounty, the grapes we have. God's going to be with us. 10 said, oh yeah, but there's giants. All these grapes, but we're grasshoppers in these giants' sight. You know, that describing what the giants saw and thought of the children of Israel. That's funny that they knew what someone else was thinking. Well, it's not true. They, out of fear, out of mistrust, doubt, they said, well, we must appear as grasshoppers to these giants. And because of their unbelief, they spent 38 more years wandering around those mountains. They could have gone right into the promised land. They didn't. they spent again 38 years, and all but two died off, Joshua and Caleb. And again, this takes several chapters to play out. But the land that they went to spy out was called the land of Hebron. And Caleb, he testifies by this time that he's 85 years old. They were going into the promised land. They had a few battles here and there. But Caleb told Joshua, who was in charge at that time, Moses said I could have that mountain. And I believe that God can deliver. I believe that he can give me that mountain. And I'm 85 years old. I ought to be walking with a crutch or doing a wheelchair, but God can give me strength. God can deliver. And God can drive out these giants, these Anakim. That's in Joshua chapter 14, and again, it takes chapters. But in Judges chapter 1, we find that there's a list of all these different other places that the giants and the inhabitants and whatever were not driven out. But in Hebron, Caleb, trusting in God, was able to drive out the giants, the Anakim, what have you. I will look under the hills from whence cometh my help. Perhaps you remember the prophet Elijah. He had it, I guess, as rough as we do, maybe rougher. Nobody wants to believe God. Everybody wants to do something else. And they had a showdown in 1 Kings chapter 18. Perhaps you remember the story of the prophet trusting in God. They had a showdown. The prophets of Baal set up their altar, and they took all morning trying to call fire down from heaven. And when they were all done and tired out and bled out, the prophet took a sip of water and said, okay, let's get to work, Lord. And he built again. He repaired the altar of the Lord. That's something we need to do. We need to get back to the preaching of the cross, repairing the altar of the Lord. He repaired the altar of the Lord and made his sacrifice and took buckets and buckets and buckets of water and poured them on the sacrifice and the wood and all of that. Dug a trench around it, what have you, had a moat around it, I guess, full of water, and said, okay, God, I trust you. Let me stand back. And fire came from heaven. Fire came from heaven on Mount Carmel. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Okay, let's look at the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 16, God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus remarked that it was not anybody that told him, but God revealed it to him. And then, perhaps as a reward, I guess, I'm not exactly sure, but the next chapter, because of that confession that Peter made, Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them. God come in the flesh, and he lived for all of these years as a man, but as Peter, James, and John looked, he was transfigured. He began to shine like the sun. His divinity showed through. And they made some comment about three tabernacles and all of that stuff, but a voice from heaven said, this is my son, my beloved son, hear ye him. My message today to the church is exactly that. Forget about your denomination. Forget about Cadillacs. Forget about all of this stuff and hear ye him. Jesus is the one that you should trust. Again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, it calls the name of Mount Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, two thieves, one on each side. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, talks about, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Sowing a seed into this ministry will not forgive your sins. Sow it to the other ministry, I'm not interested. But sending your money to those clowns, those thieves, will not help you. Your sins, you'll still be in your sins. You won't know the glories of heaven. You may have riches, or really, they'll have riches, and you'll just be poor. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That awful event that took place on Mount Calvary. Again, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And I want to turn to this one and read it, the last one. If you're counting, there's seven hills. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9 through verse 12. Jesus, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld the disciples again, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, two angels, stood beside them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. One day Jesus is coming back. One day the Lord is coming back. He came the first time riding on a donkey. The next time he's coming on a white charger. And all the host of heaven, and that's me and you, if you're in the kingdom, and if I stay faithful and endure to the end, we'll be on white horses with him. He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19. But it says in verse 12, And returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Yes, my help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. But look at the victories that God gave the church and gave Israel on these seven mountains. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, O God. Please help us to trust in you. Please help us to depend upon you and to look to you. And in our distress, help us to remember to cry unto the Lord, because the Word of God promises that he will hear us. Lord, I'm thankful to be in the house of God, and thankful to receive your deliverance. And Lord, I bless you and praise you. And I know that you bless everyone that hears and believes. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.